There are many different kinds of dolls across various Alaska Native cultures. Many have been made rationally as teaching tools, and others just for children's entertainment. But Ursula Paniak and her family are a part of a completely different new practice of their own design, an institution that conveys not only traditional knowledge, but paints a picture of a moment or moments in time. Wait, sorry, I missed that. What was that?
Oh, I was just explaining that the very first doll that I bought was the bubblegum doll.
That's Karen McIntyre.
She just was chewing her gum, and then she just had to blow a big bubble. And so there's a big giant bead coming out of her mouth, like a hot pink bead. So it represents her bubblegum.
McIntyre, who grew up in Bethel, bought two Paniak dolls in the 1980s. She says she connects with the dolls because they remind her of her childhood.
Back in the days when I was a young kid and I lived in the village, Bazooka Joe was so popular because everyone could afford to at least buy a piece of bubblegum.
McIntyre lives in Sitka now, but was in Bethel when Ursula was living there. Ursula was in her late 30s and just getting her start selling dolls.
So you knew Ursula before her dolls were really collector's items. What was she like then?
She was such a jolly person. You know, a lot of people that meet me here in Sitka, they're like, are all of you people from the YK Delta this jolly? And I am like, yes, we are. And so, you know, she's just really super jolly and happy. I've never seen her not happy or jolly. And it followed through with her dolls for sure.
McIntyre remembers other dolls that Ursula made that show her sense of humor.
The one with the grass, you know, when the person was done using the bathroom, they were using grass to wipe up. And to me, that was just, you know, like, wow, someone had enough guts to make a doll like that. But it's something that we all do every single day.
McIntyre remembers that all the dolls came with a card that told a story. The dolls also came with another card, a price tag, which could be thousands of dollars for a single Paniak doll. Another thing that made the dolls stand out was the treatment of their faces. Paniak dolls often have sealskin faces that wrinkle when they dry and make this lifelike, expressive face. Rosalie Paniak taught all of her daughters the craft and made it up in a way.
My older sister was the first one to learn from my mother.
That's Ursula's older sister, Anita Paniak. How did your mother learn how to make dolls?
You know how some people play with Barbie dolls and all that, but we didn't have those back then. They used to make it out of cloth to make little people.
Anita says her mother learned how to make traditional Chupik dolls and baskets, but found it hard to make a living selling them because there was too much competition. The Paniaks began an entirely new style of doll in the region, which many people have tried to copy since. Anita doesn't make the dolls anymore. She lives in Anchorage, and the materials are hard for her to get. But they are still being made. The next generation is Ursula's granddaughter, Jadrian Paniak, who's 18 and starting at UAA this fall. She, like Ursula, depicts her own life through the dolls.
When I get, you know, more creative, they're like hanging out with their best friends or talking on the phone, things like that.
Because Paniak dolls are so effective at capturing the values of the people who made them in a given moment, you can look at the dolls over time and learn the story of a changing people and region. But for Jadrian, it's something more personal, more familial.
When we make dolls together, you know, it's always fun and it's, you know, learning something new.
But when you say learning something new, you're not just talking about learning something new about dolls. You're talking about learning something new about your family.
The way that they think when they make the dolls, like it's something new every year, and you wouldn't have guessed that they would actually think about things that way. But they express it in their dolls.
Jadrian says that when Ursula was older, she couldn't make it out to fish camps or ride in boats anymore, the way she used to when she was younger. The last doll that she made conveyed that, in a way.
I recently got this gift for my graduation. That was the last doll she made, and it wasn't actually doing anything. Does that make sense? Like, it was just a doll.
What did you think about that?
I thought it was great because, you know, she was in the process of making the doll before she got sick. And then, yeah, that was the last doll that she was in the process of making.
And she didn't finish it?
Mm-mm.
Are you going to finish it?
No, I think I'll just leave it like that. Because, you know, we have this thing that once someone, you know, is making something and they pass away, that you should leave it that way and not, like, try to fix it or anything.
Jadrian says she plans to continue the tradition and pass it on to her own children, as it came down to her. In Bethel, I'm Adrian Wagner.